I'm still giggling about the face-off thing that we were talking about.
Which face-off?
What organization like shows you the puck and then the other one doesn't?
Oh yeah.
I just imagine myself as a linesman coming in. Okay, guys, the puck's somewhere in my pants. Hello, Avalanche fans. Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my co-host, James Tape Leg Grayling, and I will update you about all the Avs happening since our last show. We'll discuss whether the Avs should eventually retire number 23, and we'll share a fantastic Joe Sakic story that represents just how much respect he received from his NHL opponents. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 85 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm with my giggling co-host, James Tampa Grillion. I'm Jay Veen.
Hi, Jay. Hi,
James.
You?
How you feeling?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the phlegm level from 0 to 10?
We're at DEFCON 5 of phlegm. It is.
What was it last weekend?
I'm sorry. It goes backwards. DEFCON 1 is the worst. So I'm at DEFCON 2 of phlegm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sound better.
Well, we were going to record last week, and I was, not only was I feeling like horrible, but also I had so much work going on. I just couldn't not, and we couldn't. And
yeah. I'd apologize, but life happens.
Life happens. I mean, no, you shouldn't apologize. I'm the one who was sick, and I'm still kind of the dulcet tones of James Tape Leg Grayling mm-hmm. will not be making an appearance on this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Very sorry to tell you, but he won't be here this week. He's going in his stead.
Wow.
We have Peter Nasally Grayling is going to be joining us this evening. Hello, Peter. Hello. So, yeah.
Everything's good.
Everything's great.
We're back in your ear holes.
I'm feeling about like, hey, here's a segue. The Avalanche have probably felt in the last several games.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of moving that direction. I don't want to freak out or anything, but things have slowed down. But we're kind of getting to the point, especially in the Western Conference, where we're kind of haves, haves, nots. And the Avalanche are definitely towards the bottom half of the haves. And mm-hmm. Things are starting to separate themselves because the Western Conference is playing more against the Western Conference, and there's really no easy games, period. And that's how it's going to be the rest of the year.
If we're not going to, we're on the internet, what is the point of not freaking out if we're on the internet?
Well, you just need a place like Twitter to be able to put your freak out, outishness on stage, and boom, we're there.
Well, last time we podcasted, the Avs were 13-2. Now
they're very good.
Which is very, very, oh.
Couldn't have been much better.
Oh, man.
Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
They have regressed to the mean, shall we say. They're 21-9-1.
Okay.
Which means that since our last episode, they played 16 games. That's 8-7-1.
That's not bad. They're struggling.
Yeah.
They're struggling to score goals. They haven't had a power play goal, I believe, in 10 games now. They're 0 for the last 24, if my math is correct.
Yeah.
Things are slowing down, but they're still competitive, mm-hmm. and they're still hanging in there.
Here's what popped into my head there. So you just said that they haven't scored a power play goal in 10 games. That Steve Downey, he wasn't bad down there low on the left side on that power play.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly we're kind of seeing how that's missed, but
it is.
Well, you know, I'm not going to worry too much about it. One of the things also is that when you make a trade like that, you're kind of relearning, you know, putting people in new positions and the like. Not in a training camp, not in practice scenarios as much as game scenarios. So you're really learning on the fly. That's a little more difficult.
Max Talbot has looked better as of late.
Yeah.
He looked like a new guy after he scored. After he scored, I'm sure that felt great in a lot of different ways, and he's definitely been better.
Mm-hmm.
Sniffle.
I'm so sorry. Sniffle up, I guess.
You can sniffle all you want. I think it adds a little character to the show.
You know what?
And boogers.
I don't think that's what people want in their ear holes.
They want phlegm in their
ear holes. They want abs in their ear holes.
Yes, they do. Let's talk abs. We're going to whip through games and talk mm-hmm. about stuff and things and Avalanche.
We're going to linger on this first one, though.
Almost everything Avalanche. November 10th, I thought Alex Ovechkin had died at Pepsi Center.
Oh, it was tragic. The pallbearers came out and everything. I was writing a eulogy. There was...
He didn't move. Like, for those, well, oh, yeah. November 10th, the Avalanche beat the Capitals 4-1.
Yeah.
James and I were both there. James sitting right below me, which
I was in a suite.
This
was awesome.
That was pretty sweet.
Shout out to my buddy, Dan O'Mannon, his work got these tickets, and he's like, oh, you should come with me. And then we show up. It's like, oh, it's club level. That's awesome. And then,
hello.
So we get the comfy chairs.
Comfy chairs, leg room. You can stand up, watch the game if you want. Did you have any popcorn or anything like that?
We just bought stuff. I think there was like water or stuff. It wasn't like the full on.
When you get to sit in there, it doesn't like, I think that's just the extra food's just the bonus.
That was only the second time I've ever been in a suite. The first time was at the Igloo in Pittsburgh, and we had the full meal and everything, but we were kind of invited guests. Friend of a coworker, so you feel a little weird sometimes with that kind of thing. This was just
not
like,
this
you
know, time.
No, not at all.
Those are nice.
Very nice. It was a lot of fun. I think that there was a friend of Emily Robson's in there.
Really?
And it was weird because it's like, I think I know that woman. Blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, I don't.
I know
I
you.
Do, I but I didn't I say know. Anything because it was just never.
Because you're shy to, like that.
Well, she was like all the way at the end of the row, which is like, of course, only six seats. So it's kind of strange.
Four seats in between.
Hey, look, I got a text message. I know. This is just.
Awkward that can
this
get.
This is getting.
Don't break your new phone.
I'm so unprofessional. It has the tough armor case. It's very tough.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Ovechkin gets hit. Well, he didn't even get hit. He lost an edge.
Ovechkin lost an edge. I think it was Haida. Haida was like nearby him and maybe coughed.
Nothing happened.
From certain angles, you could see that it maybe could look like a hook. Or I think what it was he stepped on Haida's skate blade or a stick blade.
Okay.
That's what
it
was.
Okay.
And so Ovechkin goes down. He crashes hard into the boards. He's down. He's not moving for a while. There's a hush.
Oh, and he gets up. Everybody's like, oh, good.
He gets up and everybody, yay, okay. And then he gets back to the bench.
He's going to go straight to the locker room. No. Oh,
no, he goes to the bench. And then screams at the ref for not giving Haida a penalty.
Kicks the boards,
which drew the ire of the crowd. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a new villain in town. Mm-hmm. You would have thought the amount that he was... In recent years, Todd Bertuzzi has booed less than Alex Ovechkin was.
That is correct.
Night.
So that was really interesting. But the Avalanche control the action the entire game. Patrick Bortolo scores the second goal of the year. No one even like guessed that on Avs Twitter Sidekick. So
very few on Avs Twitter Sidekick. We failed to mention Avs Twitter Sidekick on the last episode. So let's make sure that we do it this time.
Okay. So we'll
get there.
We'll mention Avs Twitter Sidekick in this show sometime.
But we're going to talk about it like it exists and you people can't even know.
Absolutely. But the people who are listening probably already know about it.
But it was a really fun game.
Nick Holden scores his first NHL goal. Those are always...
He was kind of excited about that.
The look on players' faces when they score their first is always
You could
always
actually... Really cool. Somebody should start a Tumblr blog of just like screen captures of expressions from the first first goal.
Or at least everything going around it because then the players all go, you know, you need to go get the puck for the other player. Mm-hmm. And it's hockey culture.
Are you kidding me? When I scored my first rec hockey goal, I kept my puck.
Give me the puck. Give me the puck.
I went right to the ref. I was like, hey, can I have that? I know it's Bush League, but that's my first rec hockey puck. And he was like, yeah, here you go.
Absolutely.
No problem.
That's cool.
I gave it to my girlfriend.
Score. Yeah. It's on the mantle.
Yeah. She travels with her.
Yeah. Travels with her. It's good luck charm.
You take your own little glories. I'm not being softball guy, but you take your own little glories as you can.
No, as long as you're cool about it. Now, if you're taking a picture every day of it or,
hey, here's me in the Grand Canyon with my puck. Mm-hmm. Oh, my girlfriend's off camera, but here's me and my puck.
Here, hold the puck. Okay, now move over.
Honey, up. There's right in the middle of your face. Great. Let me take that picture.
Arm's length to the left. Yeah. Yep. All right, so that was that. November 12th, the Avalanche lose to the Hurricanes 2-1 in Carolina.
That was the first time they've ever lost in Carolina, right?
No, they had lost before.
They had?
They had the overtime loss when I was there.
Oh, maybe it was regulation.
Comeback win the year before.
Maybe they never lost in regulation or
something like that.
Anyways.
Justin Peters, another great goalie effort, and that's what he does. And Nathan McKinnon, 9 shots. He's improving every game. It's hard to believe the kid's 18. Like, how good is he going to be here in about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
how good is this team going to be in three or four years?
You know, things that shades of Matt Duchene there, what we were saying. And then it took him a little while, but, you know, now he's having his breakout year.
Absolutely.
Fifth year, breakout year.
Carl Kreef. Okay. November 13th, an announcement's made that Milan Hayduk is retiring. There was nothing outright said about it, but I guess he had an interview with a Czech newspaper or whatever and said, yeah, I'm done. Mm-hmm. But nothing official from the Avalanche. I wonder if this has to do with them not re-signing him. I'm sure there's some interesting feelings back and forth there because he wanted to play. The Avalanche didn't sign him. He may have had some other offers or may not. We hadn't heard.
He wanted to play at a level that last season he didn't show that he was able to. Right. He basically, this may sound awful, but he kind of wanted to pull a Solani and be like, I command the minutes that I play, blah, blah, blah. So, no, that's, I'm sorry, but we are going in a new direction. And hey, you know, that doesn't involve Milan Hayduk being a top two line player.
And he didn't get enough offers or an offer good enough from anybody else, if an offer at all, to play anywhere else.
He probably got like a little bit, but
I'm sure.
Also, remember there was a report, he basically said, I'm not playing for nothing. Yeah. Essentially. And that's, hey, that's great. And none of these things are bad.
No, I don't blame him at all.
No. And, but, you know, there's also a certain reality. And the reality is that as you get older, your body changes and you're not going to be an NHL player, that you're not an elite player anymore. And he wasn't. He was basically, he was playing fourth line minutes at the end there. Yeah. And, he's not a fourth line player by skill level or attitude.
It's just tough.
Yeah.
So he's retired. They said, do you miss the game? He said, no. And I'm sure you get to a certain point in your career where you'd rather be with your family anyway. Mm-hmm. But question, do you retire 23?
I was pretty ambivalent about it. His numbers basically say yes.
Yeah.
But, it's just hard with the last couple of years and, kind of the disappointment of when he was captain and the like, it just didn't seem like there was a good fit there. But I think that I think he's pretty much the last one you retire.
Yeah.
It
certainly wouldn't have a draw like a Foote or a Sakic or a Forsberg.
Yeah, people still loved him.
I think so too. Yeah. I think they will. And especially when you compare Hayduk's numbers to like Adam Foote, although forward defenseman, but even Peter Forsberg in an Avalanche jersey.
Right.
I mean, he has the most career games played in an Avalanche sweater.
He's going to be the last guy to have retired for a very long time, unless the Avs, trade for Rick Nash. He wins a cup, and then he retires.
Why Rick Nash?
I don't know. I was trying to pull out somebody Bork-like, but nobody was really coming to mind.
Aginla.
Who would you say? I guess Aginla.
Something like that.
Aginla of the sideways finger. Oh.
Ouch.
Oh, there's a picture. There was a picture on Puck Daddy of that. After a fight with, who was it, Kessler?
Yes.
Kessler.
Not Klesla.
Not Phil Kessel?
No, not Phil Kessel.
Not Frank.
Not Rusty Klesla.
Nope.
No.
None of those people.
Not Frank either.
No.
If I can be frank with you.
You can, but who's going to be Jay with me? Ba-dum-bum. The comedy duo.
We'll be here all week, folks.
Yeah, I don't think that there are that many. I mean, you're still going to get, I guess Aginla is kind of one of those players that's like, okay, never won it with
He's not Ray Bork.
He's not Ray Bork. He's pretty well loved, but how long has Aginla been around? He's been
a long time.
Long time.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Gosh, I remember that 2004 Cup series.
That was a good series.
Atlanta versus Tampa. That was a great series.
Fedotenko. Yep. So there's one player left in the NHL that was drafted or had really any affiliation with the Quebec Nordiques.
Yep.
Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas never obviously played for Quebec. Adam Foote was the last player in the NHL to play for the Nordiques to actually wear that jersey. So little known fact for you there. Write it down. Share it with your friends.
Yep.
Along with those pictures of your puck. November 14th, the Avalanche gets smashed.
Wait a minute.
So what?
Wait, Adam Foote was the last player left in the NHL.
To actually play for the Nordiques.
Oh, I got you.
Tim Thomas was the last one to be drafted. Milan Hayduk was second to last, obviously. Are we cool there?
Yeah.
All right. November 14th, the Avalanche get smoked by the Blues.
Smoked!
Sorry, I might have peeked that out. 7-3. Avs can't stay out of the box. I was stuck in traffic for much of this game, which really didn't help me either.
Just like the Avs.
Yeah, it was ugly. Mm-hmm. Every time I don't know. I was going to say I was going back and forth from watching something else, but every time you start listening again, the fans are going crazy. And
how was Mosier through it all?
He was hanging in there.
Yeah.
And the Avalanche, they were actually down 7-1 at one point as well. The second period kind of did him in. And it seems as though from all the teams the Avalanche have played, at least so far this season, the Blues seem to have their number more than any other team. Mm. So we're going to have to see how that goes moving forward. November 16th, the Avalanche against the Panthers at home. Not a must win, but a given to win, right? Mm. No, they get smacked by one of the lowest teams in the NHL, although this happened again against the Oilers as well.
Hey, who was in goal for that against them? Was it Tim Thomas, the last?
It was Tim Thomas.
The only
active. Maybe he was getting revenge. It was Tim Thomas, and he plays fine. He plays well. He still has some. He's not the Tim Thomas of old, but.
No, but he's also not playing in front of the team of old either. I mean, he did get a lot of help from a very, very good Bruins squad.
He did.
Yeah, there's a reason they won the cup that year.
He did. Some roster moves this made this whatever. Nathan McKinnon, 7 shots, played well. You can just keep saying that over and over. If anything, Nathan McKinnon is steady and
there are a few games this year that he's been a little bit invisible.
Yeah.
But
for the most part, though, he can get a break or two where you're like, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Between him and Duchesne, that's some serious speed. That's
still well in the adjustment period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, halfway through his first NHL season as an 18-year-old, he's doing fine. November 17th, Ryan Wilson placed on the IR with a back injury. We have not seen him since. Tyson Barrie's been called up and has played very, very well for the most part. And Matt Duchesne was out after this for a little while. Brad Malone was recalled from Lake Erie. He hasn't suited up for the Avalanche as of late.
Where is the oblique?
The oblique?
Yeah.
It's your torso.
It's your stomach?
Your abs. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of the sides of your abs. And I don't know if you've ever pulled one. I've done one. I'm actually playing softball because I'm old. But yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine trying to skate and do what Matt Duchesne does. I don't know. I think he fakes himself out every once in a while.
I can't imagine moving with, for you. No, I mean you, just in general. You're Shrek-sized. How does that work?
I was not doing well after I did that. I don't move that well anyway, but after that.
I just mean in general. Yeah. You're just huge. Why would you? Yeah. You move and you can hear the bones creaking and mm-hmm. scraping together. It's freaky. Yeah.
Scraping, popping, clicking. I got all that. On November 19th, the Avalanche beat the Blackhawks 5-1.
Woohoo!
Sorry, Huffy. Yeah, that's our buddy. We got to talk stuff.
Chris Hovland, yeah.
Hi, Chris.
He was upset. He was there.
That's all right. Nathan McKinnon started off as the top line center to take Matt Duchesne's place between O'Reilly and Landeskog. It seemed as though early in the year, Nathan McKinnon was Patrick Roy was going to, I guess, in a sense, not baby him, but give him some time to transition in and everything. Now he's in on everything. He's in on the power play. He's in on all that stuff. So I think he's kind of proven that, you know, playing him on the third line, trying to start slow. And maybe that's why they made the Downey deal as well. Maybe that's why they knew that they were going to move McKinnon up, especially with Tanguay's injury that's ongoing.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, there is necessity in there. And also how many guys, I mean, we so far in the call-ups that we've seen this year, which have been very few, compared to last
actually they're seasons. Actually playing with one less guy on their roster right now. They have 23 on their roster right now.
Yeah,
they could call up one more, but they haven't.
The thing is, though, we keep seeing the same guys. We don't see any new blood get called up. So really, it's there is a certain amount that you know is going. You know, there is this group and these are the guys.
Yeah.
End of story. And I just I was going to make a point, and then I just. That was horrible.
Thank you, Flem. Varley.
I just petered out there. Anyways, right.
I think I will. Varley's phenomenal. Gives his team a chance to play well in this one. The Avalanche at this point were 13-0 when scoring the first goal of the game. Woo! Okay. That was a streak that ended actually last night. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And congratulations to Paul Stastny. During this game, he took over eighth place on the franchise's all-time scoring list. It took me a while because I'm looking at the Avalanche stats. I'm like, he's not eighth, he's higher. But this is including Quebec.
Mm.
He's actually eighth all-time on the Quebec-Colorado franchise all-time scoring list. In this game, he passed Valerie Kaminsky. Nice. So congratulations to Paul Stastny, who I'm hoping will pick up his game a little bit more. He's been playing a little bit better as of late.
He's been, yeah, he had a damn good start to the season, but he really mellowed out. And,
there was really only one way for him to go, which is down a little bit.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. If he's playing well, the team's going to play well. If he's playing badly. Yeah. So I'll match your, I had a point and was going to say something and then didn't. All right. November 21st, the Avalanche at Phoenix. They win in 4-3 in overtime. Ryan O'Reilly with the game winner and Varley with 41 more saves. Very spectacular in this one, if I don't say so myself. November 23rd, the Avalanche win against the Kings in L.A.
1-0. Wow, 1-0. That was a heck of a game.
You don't see those very often.
First period, all L.A., second period, Avs, third period,
tie. Wow. That was probably one of the better hockey games, not only just because the Avalanche won it. It's one of the best hockey games I've seen in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. Really, really well played. Definitely felt like a playoff game. Varley, 19 saves for his first shutout of the season. And again for Mitchell and Hayden in overtime. That's definitely one that I remember pretty well, just for the fact that it was a heck of a hockey game.
It was a heck of a hockey game.
November 27th, Avs against the Blues at Pepsi Center. They lose 4-1. Paul Stastny out because of back spasms, and Patrick Bortolo scores your only goal.
Yeah, well.
There's your story.
And how'd he go in, like off of his shin guard?
No, that was actually a couple games ago.
We're coming up on that.
This was just, I think the puck hit the post. Hit John Quick on the back of the leg and just kind of sat there for a second.
Yeah,
and then Bortolo slapped it in. But they all counted. I think he's got 4 goals so far this season. That's more than Cody McLeod. It's more than really too many guys on the team so far. He's been an Avs Twitter psychic. Bortolo has been an Avs Twitter psychic, pretty much hero. So good for him.
Let's see. He has more goals than Alex Tanguay, Max Talbot, Jan Hayda, Cody McLeod, Eric Johnson, Nick Holden, Cody Sarch, and Benoit. And those are the ones that have scored. Cliche has not scored.
Cliche.
I call him Cliche.
To use a cliche? Yeah.
I'll call him Cliche now. Jeez.
Sorry. I just can't let that go.
Just hurt my brain.
So, like I said, the Avalanche and the Blues. The Avalanche are going to get some other shots at the Blues, and hopefully they can. I know they have those marked on the calendar. November 29th, the Avalanche against the Wild in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Paul Stastny out again with his back. Avalanche win 3-1. Jan Hayda scores another goal. And I don't know. Cody McLeod gets a game misconduct early in the game, which is nothing late in the first period. Nothing new. People started talking suspension right away, but I think the more you watch the replay, it's like, nah.
This was the slight. He actually did hold up.
It was by the bench.
He kind of pushed a little bit, but he also who did he hit from behind? I can't remember.
Before?
No, this time.
I don't even remember.
But when you see the numbers on the back of a guy's jersey, if you could see both numbers, you hold up. And he did.
He did.
And the fact that he just come off of that suspension, which was his first one, made it seem like, oh, well, now they got to throw the book at him. No.
I'm not even sure it should have gotten 5 minutes. I might have taken the board or maybe a charge or something like that. Yeah. But I don't think even the game misconduct was the correct call there, but that's just me. Yeah.
You know what? You get you toss a guy from the game, and you just sometimes you toss a guy from a game to just calm things down a bit. You know, like, let's get rid of this issue right now, and it doesn't hurt him necessarily.
Yeah. So. It was one of those. Zhigi becomes the first Colorado goaltender in Avs history to start the season 6-0.
Hey, hang on a second about that.
Sorry,
hang on a moment. Sorry. Now he did start that 7-3 loss against the Blues, right?
Who did?
Zhigi.
He did.
And and basically they pulled him in time, and Varley came in and quote unquote earned the loss. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Sorry, I don't think he's not breaking any huge records.
I love Zhigi, and I'm happy. Yeah. I'm very happy for him. But, you know, let's just make sure that, you know, credit is also given where credit's due. Varley did take one game on the chin.
Zhigi,
now, mind you. He earned it back pretty soon.
Convincingly.
Yeah.
Zhigi laughs about that as well. I think somebody brought it up to him, and he's like, you know, St. Louis, come on, really. So
yeah.
It's just one of those things.
You know, a guy's got a Conn Smythe and a cup ring. I'm sure he's not too worried.
Do what
about.
I want.
Yeah.
Zhigi, after the game, says it's so much more fun when you win.
Oh,
thanks.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah.
Hmm.
Right on, Zhigi. Thank you.
Thanks.
November 30th, the Avs against the Wild home and home series. They win 3-2 in a shootout. Avs with a 2-0 lead late in this game, and they blow it, and it goes to the shootout, and the Avs win. Way to go.
Hmm.
All right. Little break there. December 5th, the Avalanche at Edmonton against the Oilers and get absolutely demolished. 8-2. And James is giggling. Why are you giggling? It's not funny.
8-2. Ouch.
That's a lot. Too many penalties, too few bounces, mm-hmm. and that's how it goes in sports. And Devin Dubnyk, like, he always plays well against the Avalanche.
Devin Dubnyk is not a guy who you ever think of as being an NHL starter, and he's actually made a pretty decent career on a pretty bad team.
And then he crushes the Avalanche. Yeah. He looks solid Everybody against the Avalanche. Did. I mean, there's a few. Yeah. Thomas Greiss just did the same thing, and Thomas Greiss looked good against the Avalanche when he was with San Jose, and it's just there's certain goaltenders, Manny Legacy comes to mind, who just play well against certain teams, mm-hmm. and that's how sports go, period.
God, and that man, there's a name I haven't heard in a while. Manny Legacy.
Legacy. Wow. He played well against the Avs in Detroit and also when he was in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
He had one of those, like, there had been this sick amount of games where he hadn't lost. Ryan Smith was also pretty magical in this game, which makes old Avalanche fans scratch their heads.
You know, I was just thinking, actually, you know, since you bring up Manny Legacy, and I'm thinking about, you know, of course, we're talking about the Oilers and Brizgalov and all of that. There's just like this, everybody expects that goaltenders are wacky. They are.
They have to be.
But then, like, there's also, like, there's that line where you cross where you're into Brizgalov / Legacy territory where it's like, okay, now you're just a little too wacky and you're destroying everyone that you're around.
It used to be entertaining. Now it's not entertaining
now
anymore.
Now you're kind of, we need to shove you away.
I agree.
And Legacy was one of those guys where it's like, he seemed to have, like, this personality that was like, okay, you're borderline and you're on the wrong side of that border.
You're leaning this way, sir.
Yeah, we're going to have to get rid of you, sir. Sir, can you come over here into the side room?
And they'll lock the door behind him, kind of like they did to Hunwick. And
this is one of those games where, like, after, you know, if you scored that, you know, the second goal of the Avs way late in the game, you, like, do the massive over-the-top ridiculous celebration as though
you can do the archer, you can ride your stick.
In fact, I just saw this on YouTube. I'm gonna digress for just a moment here. I can't remember what the team was, some high school basketball team or college basketball team, like low college, where on this night,
silent night,
the crowd is entirely silent. They don't make a noise until they score the 10th point. And once the 10th point goes
all
in,
hell breaks loose.
It is like they won a championship. Everything stops. The 10th mm-hmm. point of the game, 10th point for this team. So you're way early in the game and everybody floods the court. Everybody is cheering. There's costumes. There's a whole deal. And
eventually, there was a train of people. They had cardboard stuff.
Really?
They were carrying it out. There was a kid with a balloon out in front of him.
I've never seen this until just the other day. That is exactly what this would be like for me. If I scored that second goal, I'd just, like, run to the center, do the arrow archery, you know, do the Yakupov slide, the whole deal, and just go so over the top that people were like, okay, that was funny.
Even your own teammates are like, dude, that was crazy. What are you doing?
That was just ridiculous. just do it so over the top funny that, like, you know, like even Don Cherry would be like, well, I don't agree with that, but okay. That's not how the good Canadian Toronto boys from Ontario would do it, but okay.
Thumbs up. I like that.
Smarten up.
Taylor Hall with a late hat trick goal on the power play when the Avalanche were down 7-2. It's one of those things, like, do you put your fourth liners out there for the power play? But then the hat trick, and nobody talked about it afterwards. I don't know how much, you know, how much anything's going to play into this, if at all. But I mean, it's just one of those things.
Afterwards was like,
he was fine.
He was fine. He was like, you know, there are just nights where guy, you know, this is a tough team and
the Yakupov or rode a stick or did the archer. That's one thing too.
But you know, that's a weird thing in hockey where you say, you know, what line you put out. Nah. Now it's suddenly a statement. It's only a statement if something happens or doesn't happen. If you're late in a game and you put out a fourth line and the score is 4-2, nobody's going to care. Yeah. But if it's 8-2, then you're going to,
well, don't take a penalty in the first place then. How's that?
Yeah, and then we've seen that before. We saw that, I think it was Quenneville with Chicago just ran up the score one time because it was against Vancouver. And it might have even been the playoffs. And Vancouver keeps taking kind of cheap shots. You know, this is just any team's will do. They're getting frustrated, and Quenneville keeps putting out the first power play unit. And like, I'm going to keep scoring on you guys if you keep doing this crap. And it was, you know, oh, well, Quenneville should have done this, and Quenneville should have done that. Yeah. Quenneville did the exact right thing. He's playing a hockey game. There is no such thing as a mercy rule.
I agree.
And if you don't believe it, ask the Armenian national team who, like, lost something like 40-something to 1 or 40-something and nothing one time, because in this tournament, goal differential made a difference. And so, you know, if there's a tie, goal differential was one of the factors for tiebreakers.
Well, whoever played against them had that advantage.
Oh, man. They've lost the entire four-game tournament by, like, something like 123 to 4 or something like
what
that.
What do you say as the coach after that one?
Go home. good game, guys.
Let's just go. Well, there's game. A lot to build
some,
on here.
We need some good Ontario boys.
We can build on this, guys.
Come on, smarten up.
We can do it.
This is a puck.
Either, yeah. Either.
Yeah. Guys,
I don't, do we need to go over this?
It's like soccer on ice.
Either way, the Avalanche will remember this one next time the Avalanche play. Hopefully they can play better, which shouldn't be too hard. December 6th, the Avalanche play in Calgary against the Flames, and they win 3-2. They're down early after a Flames power play goal, and then between the late second, early third, the Avalanche score on three goals on four shots. Mm-hmm. Talbot, Parenteau, and Nathan MacKinnon, and the Avs basically take over the game. And going back to Jiggy, Jaguar becomes the first Avs goalie to win seven straight games since Andrew Raycroft from November 29th, 2008 to January 10th, 2009. That's from Brendan Manikulas, who is one of the Avs PR guys on Twitter.
Oh, Andrew Raycroft. It's easy to forget that he was here.
It is. And he oh, yeah. Oh, shudder.
Wasn't it him and Lettinen for a little while in Dallas?
It was, and then he came back here and shut the Avs out. It was like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Lettinen's turned into quite a goalie. Who knew?
Yeah. Not us. Nope. Puck Daddy also comes out with an article by Harrison Mooney, who's talking about, are the Avalanche good or are they just kind of hot? So he starts talking about the stats and how they've slowed down with their scoring, which everybody's seeing. I'll link that up. You can give your thoughts on it. But the Avalanche obviously are slowing down, but they're still very competitive, which will help win you games either way.
Regress to the mean, and that's, you know, that's going to happen. And
everybody does it.
You think there isn't a team out there that wasn't studying the Avalanche, especially when they're coming up and going, okay, what do we need to do? Oh, I don't know. Stay on Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
Assign a guy to him. You know, that's it. There, other teams are figuring out the Avs, and that they're not a secret anymore.
You've also got a rookie head coach in Patrick Waugh. Mm-hmm. Other teams are making adjustments. Patrick Waugh is learning how to make those adjustments at this level, and it's just going to happen that way. I'm just happy they're still competitive, still in almost every game. That's definitely a different attitude. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
December 8th, the Avalanche at Vancouver against the Canucks lose 3-1. Avs pretty much outclassed in this one. Interesting thing, Patrick Waugh changed his mind just before this game and started Jiggy instead of Varley, which was fine. Probably the biggest story in this one, Jamie McGinn scores within the last 10 seconds to preserve. The Avalanche still haven't been shut out all season. I probably just jinxed that, but it is a fact. That was kind of the biggest story out of this game.
It was
blame me. That's fine.
No, that's okay. Because there was an interview with one of the players at second period intermission or second intermission. Julie Brownman, she asked about Varley's shutout and just, and the whole, Twitter is Twitter, but it just exploded and people were angry. Oh, they were angry. Which is hilarious, because then there's John Buchegras, who for a while there was like, oh, this guy's got a shutout going on, just to show it. And then he'd retweet people like, I hate you. I hate your guts right now.
It is one of those things for if you're a hockey fan rookie, if you haven't been, you know, you can't. It's kind of like in baseball. You can't sit next to the pitcher and talk to him while he has a no-hitter. Same way. You'll notice the Avalanche announcers.
Oh, man. I'd just be like, hey. Hey, how you doing?
How's it going?
No-hitter.
You're doing pretty well.
Yeah. You should keep that up.
Good luck. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Good luck.
You'll hear the Avalanche announcers try and jinx the goaltenders of the opposition.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you're not supposed to mention shutout until it's either over or a goal has been given up. Just one of those things.
Although I will say that Brownman is getting better, she asked a question the other day.
Oh.
It wasn't just a statement.
Good for her.
Asked a question.
Yeah. She's learning.
She's learning.
We're just going to go with that. December 10th, the Avalanche against the Coyotes at Pepsi Center. They lose 3-1. Bordy with the only goal.
This was the shin.
He was like, I don't think he was ever actually in front of the goal line either.
It was Cody McLeod or something that hit, or no, it was the Coyotes player.
The opposition trying to clear it into the corner.
It hits his shin guard, then the goaltender's pad. And
then goes in. Scores. Yeah. And then by the time the puck went in, he was flat on his back because he had tripped on Cody McLeod behind the net. It was just a pure goal scorer's goal.
Oh, yeah.
But that was his fourth of the season? He's got four, yes?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Fourth. Last year he had like one.
He did?
Yeah. And that was got four. That's cool. That's how much better the Avs are. They're four times better.
Patrick Waugh was a little angry. Did you see that?
Yeah, that
was
going to
try
really
and make my own GIF, and then by the time I got onto Twitter, as I watched the rest of the game, there was about three or four people that had made their own.
I really think you should have made a GIF. And when he says word that he's going to say, you should have just put fudge.
Shucks, guys. Something like that.
I mean, he was mad.
He was fired up. No, I don't blame him. I mean, it was just...
I don't even remember exactly what the broken play was, but I do remember going, no.
It was a shot from the point. It was a rebound right onto that guy's stick. He scored two goals that game.
Ekman Larson?
No. It was the one guy. The big guy.
The big guy.
Yeah.
It was Paul Bissonnette's shot, I think.
It was somebody's shot.
That just rebounded.
Three or four guys went towards the puck and just left the guy to get the rebound. And,
yeah. Well, That's the thing. You can't go puck chasing in this or any league, even as sexy as it looks.
That's right. So the Avalanche were 0-22 following this game. Mm. In their last eight games leading up to this game, they had only had 14 goals, and they were 0-22 on the power play.
Yeah, and only 14 goals, it seems like.
It's not a lot. In eight games, it's not going to get it done.
Seemed about average for last year.
Yeah.
This year, it's like, what?
That's a pretty big slowdown.
Yeah.
The Avalanche, the next game, score three goals. The shootout goal was the other, and they scored one last night. So they still are not quite scoring goals, but they're in most of the games. And like I said, that's all right. They were 0-22 in the last eight games heading into this game. I can't remember how many power plays they had against the Jets, but I know they had two last night against the Wild. Mm-hmm. So they're at least 0 for their last 25 or 26, which is obviously going to make it difficult to win games. And that's probably why the goal total was down as well. I mean, that's where a lot of teams score goals on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Glad I could give you a lot to build on there.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't grunted this show.
Sit here dumbfounded for a moment.
Yeah. What's your grunt for this show?
I'm stuffed up.
You're snotty. December 12th, the Avalanche in Winnipeg against the Jets. They win 4-3. Great comeback victory here. They were down 1-0, I think 25 or 26 seconds in. They give up a power play goal not long after that. Matt Duchene with a goal late in the first.
Finally, he's back.
They scored two in the second. It was 3-2 Avalanche going into the third. Blake Wheeler scores for the Jets in the third period. They go to a shootout. Avalanche win it with goals from Duchene and Parenteau.
Yeah. Matt Duchene, two goals, one assist, and the shootout goal.
It had been a little while since we had seen the Matt Duchene that we're used to, and it's good to see him back.
I don't know if you knew this, but he injured his oblique, which is in the stomach area. Close
on the side of the stomach?
Yeah, near the abs.
Yes.
So that could have had a factor.
We need a face of James right here. It was awesome. Blake Wheeler, I heard an interesting thing, and it reminded me of how I guess we used to feel until this season with the past four or five seasons with the Avalanche. They interviewed Wheeler last night after they lost to somebody, and he was not pleased at all. He was not giving the normal hockey stuff. He says, "You've heard the normal hockey beep for the last 3 years, and this is getting embarrassing."
Yeah.
I don't know whether they had a lead or blew it or just got blown out, but they've been struggling. He's like, "This is embarrassing, and I'm tired of watching it." And
they're still the Winnipeg Thrashers.
Yeah,
they're frustrated. I mean, they're still from Atlanta. It's not. They haven't had the. It's almost like what's his name, Brian Burke, when he went to Toronto. He had a ton of bad contracts and long term contracts that he had to either get rid of or wait out to get contract space, to get money space, and that's basically where Winnipeg has been, except that Winnipeg has been also re-signing the same problems.
Yeah.
And for some reason, maybe the fact that, you know, they are still the Thrashers, nobody wants to really go there, and I don't think they're willing to spend the money to put them there yet, even though they have sold-out building guaranteed for a few more years.
Yeah, and very loud there.
Oh, yeah. But it's Winnipeg, you know. What was it, 21 below or something like that when Mosier was there?
Yeah, that was a cold trip for them. It was cold here. I mean, I'm sure the Canadian folks are watching us for free.
It was chilly.
But, yeah, below 10 below. And yeah.
But, you know, even
Blake Wheeler's officially over it. We can put it that way based on the interview that I saw.
You know what? It's the only thing that would – that they need the league needs Winnipeg to be halfway decent and not be basically what the Senators are turning into right now.
I
said it. I went there. Oh yeah.
We're gonna get a lot of hate mail on that one.
Oh yeah.
because people pay attention.
Please. Please.
But yeah, Blake Wheeler's officially over it, but it sure is. I don't want to call it refreshing, but he was totally not in hockey player mode. He was just like, I can look at you guys and I've told you guys the same stuff for the last 3 years, and now I'm officially embarrassed and I'm sick of it. And, you know, it's just one of those things where he's caught in the moment a little bit as well.
Well, Blake Wheeler's been around the block.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to say that this is a Jaguar Sacco moment, right. But it probably isn't that far off from it.
Yeah.
There's only so much spin you can do.
It's definitely interesting to hear them talk that way. And mm-hmm. you understand, that's for sure. And if it wasn't the truth, I definitely don't think he would be saying it that way
either. Conference standings right now in the West, 12th place, Winnipeg, 13th place, Calgary, 14th, Edmonton.
Yeah.
That's, so, I mean, when you have, and right now, keep in mind, there's two big factors going into the next couple of years of money for the league. The 4.9 to $5.2 billion Canadian TV deal that Rogers put through, which is going to put in roughly close to 15 million per team on average per year over the next next 12 years. Okay. So your salary cap just went up by 7.5 million essentially.
That's a good neighborhood there.
Yeah. And also that the Canadian dollar is starting, they're saying, to decline a bit, which was what has propped up these propped up the Canadian teams for a while. Right. The interest is there. They sell really well, but you need teams to have, you know, if the cap is going up and you've got a couple of Canadian teams that are not going to follow that cap as well, Winnipeg, Ottawa, for instance, and then you have a declining Canadian dollar, these are factors that could be substantial for the interest in the league. So they need Winnipeg really to start playing better.
Yeah, and I don't think Blake Wheeler is even worried about that. He just wants to win hockey games.
No, totally. Yeah. I'm just, but you there's know, from an outsider, from an outsider point of view, and from from a league business kind of view, they've had long term problems essentially. From the Thrashers to now, there's not been a successful team. I don't think Winnipeg's made the playoffs yet as Winnipeg, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So that franchise has been to the playoffs once, ever. Yep. They got swept out by the Rangers.
Yep.
When Kovalbucks was still there.
Kovalbucks.
Yeah.
Ka-ching. I mean,
you're
starting to get fired up here.
Well, it's the cold talking.
It's the Sudafed.
The Sudies.
That's right.
Hey, I'm not juicing.
Nope.
Nope.
Not yet.
Nope. Just give me my coffee. I'm going to be okay, Derek.
With the juice in there. December 14th, which was last night as we record this, the Avalanche lose to the Wild. They give up a late goal in the third period. And just one of those games where you can't quite keep pushing the action. You got to play smart hockey and protect your lead. You end up giving a goal, and that's what happens. So
you still have you still have to play your game, though. I mean, this is not
you definitely do.
We've seen how many times have we seen the Avs give up leads when they stop playing offense, and this is an offensive team, and that it's a coaching decision, but it's also not. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, if you see it, you start to back off a little bit. You don't press the play as much, but you know, I kind of look at it like, why are you waiting till the last minute and a half when you pull the goalie to actually play offense? Right. You keep your goalie. I'm not saying pull your goalie 5-10 minutes in, but pressing the play, if you have possession in their zone, they can't score on you. Hello.
I know.
Get in there. And it's kind of my frustration with football in a way, is that you get these plays in the last 3 minutes where they march down the field. Look, why can't you do that more often? Oh, because we're playing safe. But it works. It works when you press the play, when you push down the field, and when you you go on a tear. It works so often, you'd think that they'd take the chance to do it more often.
And then, why not? Because you're the big goat if you get the turnover that leads to an on-man break and the other team scores. And then you can't win for losing there.
In a moment. Yeah, but it's only for a moment. That's the thing. If I've seen, and I've experienced it myself, where if you aren't pressing the play, you're never going to get solid possession. You're never going to get your chances.
You're never going to draw a penalty, which is a free 2 minutes, if not more.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that, if you're going, you can't protect a one goal lead. It used to be that you couldn't protect a two-goal lead, but we're getting to the point where coaches have figured out the new NHL since the lockout. They've, you know, since the previous lockout, they've adapted more, and now you can protect a 2-goal lead.
Sure.
A 1-goal lead, no. Can't do it.
Yeah, I agree. It was, I understood, but it doesn't make it any easier to watch when the team is trying to play smart hockey and spending most of the time in their zone, which is either going to be a goal, you're going to take a penalty, or you're just not going to be able to put your foot back on the gas. The Avalanche adjusted pretty well last night after they got scored on. Mm-hmm. But they'll learn, to play these games a little bit in a different style. And they'll learn as they have more and more of these. They'll get better.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting part. So there was a rain. What's that?
That's caught up on all the games.
We caught up that quickly because we're just efficient like that. That's how we roll. There's a random Joe Sakic, Sean Avery, Brett Hull story that you got, that you saw and then passed along to me. And
I saw it a couple other places. Shout out to Eric McElhain for posting it on Facebook.
What a great story.
Great story. I'll kind of give you the gist of it. Sean Avery, who I totally forgot was a Red Wing.
Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't he be?
His rookie campaign, and they're playing the Avalanche. It's 2001-2002 season. Okay, Avs have won, just coming off a cup win. The rivalry is heated still, massively heated. And, of course, Avery is himself, and he talks a lot of trash and the like. And he's gonna lean over. And
during a face-off, I believe.
Actually, it was on the bench. Yeah, he's on the bench.
Right.
Sakic's near the Joe Sakic's on the ice ready for the face-off near the bench, and Avery's going to say something to him. And Brett Hull grabs him and pulls him back and basically, just yanks him back. And before Avery could say anything, Hull said to him, "You do not get to talk to Mr. Sakic."
And that one of the many, many reasons why hockey is just great.
Well, and this is the huge rivalry. You do not get to talk to Mr. Sakic.
Nope.
And
sorry.
If Brett Hull tells you that, you be quiet. Brett Hull, I mean, in Brett Hull's later days, Brett Hull looked like freaking Frankenstein. You do not mess with Brett Hull. Did I ever tell you the story about getting Brett Hull's signature on a jersey?
No.
Brett Hull does not sign things, okay? He is just like, you know what? Leave me alone.
Yeah. I heard Patrick Waugh is the same way with pucks. He just does not like signing pucks for whatever reason. Keep going.
He holds, he one time he signed one, held it up, and it fell out of his hand right behind him. It was kind of awkward and went into a sewer grate, and he couldn't get it back. It was kind of awkward.
That happened after the one goal or no? Keep going. Brett Hull.
Anyway.
Brett Hull, sorry.
So we're at the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. We're actually going to be, we're leaving and checking out of our hotel. And we were at the same hotel the players stayed at. And
so you're jock sniffing. All right.
Oh, totally jock sniffing. Yep. But, look at it. Yeah, this is 2004. So this is a little earlier in my hockey career. Nowadays, I'd probably be a little more like, oh, hey, that's Brett Hull.
Hello.
Yeah, hey.
How you doing?
I'm sorry. I had a moment there because I had a dream the other night about that. I saw Alan Rickman and just walked up to him and said, "I enjoy your work."
Okay.
And that was a dream. Anyways, listen, I'm in a fever state here.
I like it. I'm not bored over here. Let me tell you.
So anyways, we're checking out of the hotel. I'd met Buzz Schneider from the 1980 US Olympic team. He signed my jersey. We'd seen some people around. We met Gary Thorne.
Okay.
Had dinner with him. He sat next to us at the sushi bar, and we wound up talking for about 45 minutes.
Cool.
Nicest guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So nice. So fun. And we check out of our hotel. The car is pulled up, blah, blah, blah. And there's Brett Hull, and he's on his cell phone. So I just walk up with a jersey and a Sharpie.
God, you idiot.
Yep. And you know what he did? Just grabbed the Sharpie, signed it, and went back to his phone call. And I was like, yes. And you know what? Because it's Brett Hull, I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah.
At all. He was not what you would call fan friendly.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what?
That's pretty awesome.
You know what? In your face, buddy. Oh, did I just disturb you, Mr. X Red Wing?
Sorry.
Sorry.
No, but that was, what a really cool story. Oh, yeah. And just how hockey culture works. Yeah.
He had there's a mat outside of the hotel that you don't step on. He had a foot on it. Right outside there.
Are you telling on him?
No, skate the crease. I was trying to make the skate the crease gag, but it didn't work. It was horrible. Anyway, so that's a pretty good. That was a pretty good story.
All right,
you know, those are, and that's just the respect that people would have for, you know, for other players. So, but when you think about it, like we recently had this, the Sean Thornton, Brooks Orpik. Thing that happened the other day where Sean Thornton skated up, grabbed Orpik, slew footed him, basically tripped him down, then punched him with his glove on.
Knocked him out
while he was down the ice. Really, really bad. And yet at the same time, can you imagine something like that happening to a Joe Sakic or any of that? You know, it's kind of one of those things where when you play with class, when you play with class, you get treated with class, even from the people that quote unquote hate you. And this is like with fans and the like. I think of there's hate and there's real hate and there's hockey hate. And there's
a dog. There's real hate, hockey hate, and a dog.
Dog wants me to move on. But this, the point being that there's real hate and there's hockey hate. Yeah. And even if you have, in these heated rivalries, you have hockey hate against these guys. And this is where when they punch each other in the face and you wonder, well, what the heck? They're part of the same union. They might be playing together later. Sometimes teammates have gotten in fights like that. Yep. You know, there's anger. There's hockey anger. And hockey anger, it is a little different. You know, I hate the Red Wings, but I hockey hate the Red Wings. Yeah. You know?
They have too much talent. Yeah, I mean, you respect them too much. And there's a few guys that come along. Joe Sakic's one. Steve Yzerman's another.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas Lidstrom's another.
Yeah.
Where the opposition.
Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah, the opposition, there's never a reason ever to say anything bad about them.
Now, mind you, I mean, Holmstrom and
well, that's different.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just as good, but the type of game that they play doesn't lead to that kind of respect, whereas... Well, and also the first comment in that story, and I will definitely post a link to that. You had a linesman. Uh-huh. You had a friend of a linesman in the NHL. Something happens, and somebody starts.
Okay, so here's the comment. I'm going to just
icing
read,
thing.
Can I read the whole thing?
Go for it, yeah.
This is a comment in that same post, and we're going to put a link to this post.
Absolutely.
And this is the only comment that's worth really reading.
it deteriorated quickly after that.
From To Keith. I'm friends with a current NHL linesman. He told me in his first season he was skating a game with Colorado. He was racing a couple of players goal line for a touch icing and hit the whistle to the dismay of the ass forward. The linesman barked something back, defending his call, and skated the puck back to the other end. A few shifts later, Joe Sakic skates up to him during the stoppage and says, "Hey, I know you're new around here, but it's your job to keep us settled down, not rile us up more than we already are. Keep that in mind, and you're going to have a hell of a career." That was 12 years ago. It's advice he remembers before he skates on the ice every night. It's advice that's kept him in the league longer than most officials. It's truly amazing how many people Joe Sakic influenced. I'm sure there are thousands of other stories like this regarding Sakic and his ability to be a true leader. That's really cool. I mean, there have been times where I've wanted to say that to refs that I've had to play around, where it's like, look, I understand why you're letting a few things go, but also it's your job to settle this down and make this a safe environment for the rest of us. And, you know, good refs, there are a couple of linesmen that you see game after game after game who you don't really notice, but just really settle things down.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't even have to say anything. It's just what they might do, what they might, whatever, but.
But that's a great story about Sakic.
That's a really great story.
It's one of those things that, you know, we always see him as, you know, he's quiet, leads by example, blah, blah, blah. You know, things like that explain why.
Just because hockey is the way hockey is, that linesman would probably never tell that story to anybody in the press.
Right.
But it's cool to make it to that friend, and that friend actually posts. I'm pretty sure that's true, you know. And I'm sure I'm sure he's exactly right in the fact that there's a lot more stories like that that nobody's ever going to tell. So,
yeah.
We love Joe Sakic. The end. All right, let's get to some shout outs a little bit, and then we got to get going. Kenneth Ferguson from Albuquerque. He's also friends with Derek and, man, why am I forgetting names? Ryan. I forgot to mention him in the last game. He came up during Adam Foote night, and that's my fault, Kenneth. So just wanted to say hi to you. Also, Sean the Hockey Goon and Scott Thurston, Hockey Fool, and also Herschel Meister. We met up during the Caps game.
Yep.
And we're able to hang out and
good
chat.
To see Sean. I haven't played against him in a while because I've been out because of work and the like. So we haven't played against him at all this season, which is weird.
Well, you should make that happen.
I'm gonna try.
All right.
It's, you know, I just got to get less work. Scott Thurston, so I went to a Cutthroats game with him. We had a great time.
Cutthroats games are fun.
They're fun. This was really low attendance. Avs were playing that night, and it was a weekday. So
weekday games are
probably
there.
Oh, yeah, it was low attendance.
Still fun, though.
Nice to finally meet. I finally met Hirsch. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'd never met him before.
Good people.
What's up, guy? Hirsch?
big guy. Hirsch is.
You know a lot of big people. I think that you guys just find each other over the crowd. Like there's all of us 5-10 people, and then there's all of you guys, and you're like, oh, hey, I see you.
Well, I saw Hirsch at the big people meetings that we have, and I was like, hey, we should meet up at an Avalanche game too. So
do you have like, okay, so there's big meat.
Big meat, big sexy.
Big sexy. Do you guys have like big, do the big people have big, what's your big?
Not that we'll ever tell you.
Oh God.
It's a secret.
Wow.
Maybe when you grow up and be big.
Classist. You can. You're a heightist.
A biggest.
You know what? I think that's very unfair because I am 5'10 and a half and that is very tall for an Armenian. If don't you dare give me that little tiny tiny violin thing. I
you
went
put
to
that away.
I went to Armenian Heritage Night. They had it LA Kings game.
Okay? Were you the Shrek there?
I was. I went to the after party and the tallest people there was me, the bartenders, and any players that showed up. I mean, like Marty McSorley was there, right? I get my picture with Marty McSorley.
They're like, okay? Wow.
And it's like he has this smile on his face, like finally somebody tall around here.
So you hugged awkwardly just for no reason.
Hey,
hello.
It was very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very nice. I just, you know, hey, thanks for putting this on. We got a picture, and
that's cool.
But you know, I am tall. I am Shrek size compared to Armenians.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Good for you.
And I can say that because I am Armenian. I'm not being.
You're not being snarky here.
No.
All right. Av Twitter psychic.
Oh wait, no, I have a shout out.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Scott Yates.
Oh, you got to meet Scott and hang out with Scott.
I did.
Did you go clean his room with him?
No.
No.
No, he's cleaning his room right now as he listens to this. He's probably just he just dropped whatever he had in his hands and is stunned because we're talking about him right now. No, went to a Ontario Rain. That's Ontario, California, for those of you who aren't sure.
R-E-I-G-N?
Yes. Oh. Yes, because they're in the Kings system. So you've got the Kings, and then the AHL team is the Monarchs, and then the Rain. So and I'm guessing that if there's one lower than that,
princesses?
It's like the Dukes.
we'll have to check on that.
Do you play? Motes? I play for the Earl of Toledo. I'm the Earl of Toledo. That's what they do. They don't have
it's not a
captains.
Coach.
It's an
you're
Earl.
The Earl. It's an E.
I'm an Earl.
And you're not the coach either.
Yes, my associate captains here are Dukes. This is the Duke of Bratwurst over here. The Duke of...
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sometimes you just have to let him finish, folks.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Just got to let him go for a while.
Oh. I was trying to actually remember a hockey last name, like one of those really, really common ones.
Smith.
No, like really, like totally hockey and totally, starts with a D. But anyways, that was going to be my Baron von something.
Durenstergen. Yeah. That's what it is.
Anyway, so yeah, shout out to him.
Right on, Scott.
Shout out to my two hockey teams, whom I miss quite a bit because I'm working so much because it's it's December, and so I don't get to play much because it's,
you got to work.
Oh man, holidays are killing us.
You got to do the works things.
It's a merry, merry Christmas.
Wow,
so many Christmas songs.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
we love it.
Oh man. So anyways.
Avs Twitter Psychic. I want to thank all the fine folks that play Avs Twitter Psychic game in, game out. It is kind of fun. Very simple. Just for a retweet. James plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun.
All you have to do is guess who is going to score the first goal for the Avalanche in any given game, any given Avs game. And you tweet with Avs Twitter Psychic and with Jay's at Jay's handle so that you make sure that he gets it.
Yeah, it's just easier for me to find it.
Yeah, and you win the wonderful prize, not Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine, but
or a t-shirt.
A retweet.
Carl Castle, we were trying to remember his last name on the way home from Meyer Glass the other night.
Oh, you couldn't remember Carl Castle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, so thank you for those of you that play Avs Twitter Psychic. Mm-hmm. If you don't get on Twitter and do it, if you're not playing Avs Twitter Psychic,
it's just a lot of fun. We don't get anything for it other than just having more fun as Avs fans and, you know.
Gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of people way before I even put out the tweet that says, hey, it's game day. Let's play Avs Twitter Psychic. There's people that's just gotten part of their game day routine. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that for sure. We're going to do a little bit more, I guess, official things with it. We're going to
get there.
We're going to create a very, very loose, like, general leaderboard for who's gotten it correct the most times, and also which Avalanche players have scored first for the team throughout the year. Just a little something to add on, so we can just make it a little more fun with a little more information. So be on the lookout for that. We're also throwing out we're just kind of throwing around an idea for an AHP chat, which we might do between shows, maybe for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes between shows on Twitter, and just throw some questions out there and let you respond to us using the hashtag, and we'll just kind of see how that goes. So
yeah,
be on the lookout for that. We still have some planning to do with that, but you know, just throw out some content, some questions, some, you know, happenings with the Avalanche, and you can get your thoughts. And I think it's a way to be able to bring some fans together that normally wouldn't be able to come together.
Exactly.
So be on the lookout for that. I don't know how soon that'll happen. We're still kind of planning it, but I think it'd be kind of a fun idea and a great idea to get everybody together.
Yeah, Jay and I are very careful about not doing things again in the way of our meat smoking operation. We have a lot of jerky to churn out, and we don't have really time for every single little abs thing that we'd like to do.
So. Smoking meat. Jerky. That's what else would you smoke that would be useful? Brisket.
Jerky.
Uh-huh.
They're hard to keep lit.
Ribs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sounds like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Tofu.
Smoked tofu.
I don't know if you can. I guess you could smoke. I guess you could.
We're trying out a new system. We're going to try and smoke. I don't know. I really don't know how well that's going to go. But
that was my old neighbors next door. The old Cheech and Chong neighbors.
They
next
smoke
door.
Smoke.
They did smoke smoke. They aren't there anymore.
No.
No.
So it smells somewhat normal up here, at least for Colorado.
Is it time for me to do the do?
The deed, the thingy, the spiel. Go.
Oh, okay. Here's the nasally version. You can always find the Evs Hockey Podcast at www.evshockeypodcast.com. It's very special.
No.
You can comment on anything that you hear, see there. Talk about things that happen. Yeah, Jay posts. He had a little fun thing with the what to wear for the abs or for the foot night thing for foot and foot's retirement night, and so there's a little bit of fun and hilarity there. But really, if you want the fun and hilarity, you got to go to Facebook with facebook.com/abshockeypodcast. On the site still, though, you can find links to subscribe in iTunes. It really is the easiest way to listen. If you only listen on Android things, well, I don't know what to do. Actually, what was it? Dogcatcher? Dogcatcher is a great app that you can use, and we should probably link.
Is it Dogcatcher?
I thought it was Dogcatcher.
Yeah, I think it's
D-O-G-G right. Catcher or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, we'll go with it.
We have a phone number that nobody uses. It's 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right, but nobody's calling it. That's okay.
I think that's right. Let me call it real quick.
Let me call it real fast. Yep. Nope. It works. I'm just lonely. Let's see. You can follow Jay on Twitter. If you're not certain, it is Avs Podcast, not Avs Hockey Podcast anymore. It's just Avs Podcast. He shortened it up because three characters means he can say so much more with his words.
It's true.
I am online at Tapeleg, TAPELEG. My currently dormant blog is Jerseys and Hockey Love. I still have love for hockey and I still have jerseys, but I'm just not really writing that much. And what else? Am I leaving anything else? Oh, don't forget to tweet with Avs Twitter psychic.
Yeah. Game days. Just choose who you think is going to score. Mention me, Avs Podcast. You can also email us. I've gotten a few emails.
Yep.
AvsHockeyPodcast@gmail.com.
I always forget that one.
I think it's just it wasn't part of the spiel to begin with.
Yeah.
And I added it
in
the middle.
I get locked in.
And totally screwed it up.
I'm anything but. I am Pavlov's podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can do.
You're damn good at it, though.
Nah, I don't know. Not this week.
Well, no, you are. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad we could do this. And we'll be back in your ear holes in a couple weeks again.
Yeah. And Avs are still in a playoff position right now. They're seventh in the Western Conference, going 21-9-1. That's good enough for 43 points. Oh, man. It's only 8 points out of first from Chicago. They still have, they are 8 points out of first right now. And Chicago has played four more games. That's 8 points worth of games.
That's a lot of points.
See what I'm saying here?
There's, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So life is still really good. Goal differential right now, plus 15 on goals. So even though they've had a couple of really, really tough games with that 7-3 loss, that 8-2 loss, the goal differential still way up there.
They're hanging in there. They are.
They've regressed to the mean a little bit, but other than that.
but not like they used to. And I think the conference is starting to spread out a little bit. The Avalanche are definitely on the right side of that spread, at least for now. So hopefully they can keep it up. They're going to start scoring more goals here. They just have to. They have too much talent not to.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to say that for a few seasons.
True. And, you know, Tanguy's going to be back eventually. He's out with his hip now.
They said it's going to be quite a while now. So,
well, he'll get back eventually, and they'll start figuring out what they need to do without him for the, and things things are going to go fine. And you'll note that Patrick Waugh, who did say, "I don't really like morning skates," is currently doing some morning skates after a few bad losses. Guys just get used to stuff like that.
That's all right.
Anyways, why am I bringing up more topics when we are wrapping it up here on the Avs Hockey Podcast, number 85, your home for almost everything.
We didn't see 85. Let's do this real quick. 85, 8 plus touching the iPad. So we got that. Touch the iPad. 8 plus 5 is 13. Your favorite 13 in Avs history? Go.
Dan Hynote.
I know.
Any day of the week. Okay. Every day of the week. Got two Dan Hynote game-worn jerseys, one of them being a burgundy, which is awesome. I love the burgundy.
I have a burgundy game-worn, too.
See, there's your grunt.
Valerie Kamensky, who we mentioned earlier in the show, another great Avalanche 13.
Whatever.
I don't know if there were a bunch more. So there it is.
Dan Hynote. Boom.
Fist bump. Thanks. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Hey, thanks for letting me have the last week off. I needed it badly.
You needed it.
I sleep.
No morning skates for you.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
All right, Avs fans. We'll be back in your ear holes in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, and as always, take care. Let's go, Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later. Goes
okay. All you,
hello Avalanche fans, and welcome back. What'd you say? How you doing? You almost broke that. why is that possibly still funny? And it's still funny.